Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Too Much Pod Tar. I am your host for this episode, Joe Ricotta. I'm special guesting as host. Thank you kindly to Alex Keeler giving me the reins today to get some experience as I try to get a podcast of my own up and running off the ground. But I've never been on this side of things hosting, so he was kind enough to let me do it for this episode, and I think we have a good one for you. We're going to talk about some of the recent news, in particular with the Arenado deal, Nolan Arenado going to the St. Louis Cardinals, which hasn't been finalized that we know of yet. But then there's some other news with the MLB proposal. 154 game season. So we're going to talk about that.
He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy and jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's teaming Matt.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pot tar.
way too much pot tar.
Let's just get right into it. Alex Keeler is here with me. Obviously, this is his podcast. You can find him at Alex Keeler. Alex, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Joey. I'm glad to hand the reins over to you for this episode. You know, it's kind of a different feeling to not be hosting, but it's definitely an interesting experience.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting for me, too, on this end. A little different. Usually you're the one laying it up for me, and I'm just trying to dunk it, probably just laying it up because I'm not quite tall enough and I don't have the jump. But, so let's start with the Cardinals and the Rockies move. With Arenado, so this is the supposed deal. Nolan Arenado gets traded to the Cardinals for prospect pitcher Adam, let's go back here. Austin Gomber. That's what I thought. Okay. Just had to make sure we got the names right for sure, because that's a big part of this whole thing. So that's what's being reported. Austin Gomber. Trying to find the other names in this deal. I had them in front of me, and now I lost them. So the host, the guest host, is failing right now, falling flat on his face.
It was Lucan Baker. He's a first baseman, outfielder John Torres, and then right-handed pitchers Jake Woodford and Angel Rondon. Those were the reported names, and they were reported by Ken Rosenthal, and Austin Gomber was first reported by Bob Nightingale of USA Today, which, you know, it's kind of surprising to see him get things right, as we know.
Yeah, it's a change of events from what we've gotten used to, at least from him. Gomber is interesting. I don't know. He wasn't They held on. They were able to hold on to the Cardinals were a lot of their top prospects, and he's a good prospect. He's a notable name, but he wasn't quite, you know, at the level of, you know, they held on to Carlson, Dylan Carlson, Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, you know, another good pitcher in their system. So, you know, it's an interesting move. Obviously, it's a huge move for the Cardinals. It's a big upgrade. They got locked down a third baseman. Arenado is a stud. I think we can say that he will be a stud even outside of Coors. Maybe a little bit of a knock to his overall production because Coors Field is such a hitter's park, but he plays terrific defense, gold glove caliber defense, and gives you a great bat in the lineup. But, you know, it's interesting because GM Jeff Breidich, supposedly or reportedly, it's the Rockies are also giving the Cardinals $50 million, and Arenado's contract is going to be deferred. So I think, you know, I mean, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this, so I'll just let you go ahead and say what you would like to say about this, but I just find it interesting and pretty bizarre on that end of things.
Yeah, as far as the Rockies standpoint, I'm just confused. I mean, I know they wanted to get rid of Arenado. They want to get the money off the books. But they pretty much, it seems like the Rockies just don't ever want to keep their players and to do whatever, like, they're literally sending money to the Cardinals to take their best player when, you know, they didn't have to do that, I don't believe. I mean, he's arguably the best third baseman in the league, so anybody's gonna take him for what the Cardinals gave up for him. So, you know, not, as you mentioned, not giving up that many top prospects. Kind of a fleece on their part. So it's kind of interesting the way this offseason's gone. A lot of the trades that have gone down, you know, as far as the Darvish trade, which is something that you're obviously keen of, that was pretty much a fleece on the Padres' part. The Cubs didn't get much in return there as well. So it's been weird. It's been a weird offseason for sure in that aspect.
Yeah, definitely. It just really feels like a whole lot of cost cutting all around the league. But then, you know, when you really look at this deal, as we talked about, or as you said too, they weren't cutting cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, payroll wise, yeah, but you know, it's not like they were making money off this deal. They were giving the $50 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, it's strange, but, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see. I'm not as excited being a Cubs fan, obviously having them to face, Arenado as many times as they will now, being in the same division. But, and then obviously the Cardinals are a lot better team with him and probably become the front runners now. I mean, in that central, it's a very sloppy division overall. It's just, there's no real top dog, but with this move, I think that puts them in the driver's seat. And maybe this pushes the Cubs even more so into this rebuild that they've already kind of, they have started. But they've also made some interesting moves as far as lately, like with Jock Peterson,
mm-hmm.
You know, $7 million compared to what Schwarber got after they non-tendered Schwarber, and then Schwarber got $11 million from the Nationals. So Jock Peterson comes over, is basically the same guy as far as he gives you power, not a great batting average. And he doesn't really hit lefties well, which is kind of the same as Schwarber. You know, very much a right-handed, he hits right-handed pitching very well. What do you think about that move?
Yeah, I liked it. I like the move. It's definitely gives him a solid outfielder. He plays some good defense. He has some pop in his bat. And, yeah, like you said, it's pretty much – it's almost the same or even an upgrade over Schwarber, and they get him for less. So I definitely like that move a lot. You know, I don't know if they'll be able to contend. Well, I mean, they will be able to contend since it's such a bad division, but we'll see how it goes with their – you know, pitching now without Darvish, but and whether or not they move on from Bryant, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see. We've been hearing these rumors for a long time with when it comes to KB, and obviously then as of late or, you know, a few weeks ago, we've been hearing Wilson Contreras' name pop up in trade rumors, and then we see what they've been kind of doing. They're kind of slopping together a back end of the rotation or mid to back end of the rotation with the Trevor Williams signing and then Cole Stewart and Shelby Miller, who's had all kinds of injury issues. But, you know, what's going to transpire there? Who knows? I think what they're hoping for is one or two of those guys pops up and does something decent or decent enough, but I mean, that's really bottom of the barrel shopping. So, but yeah, moving on here, this deal or this proposal that I guess was already declined. Let's see here what the details of the deal were. Or the proposal, excuse me. I'm calling it a deal, but it was a proposal.
Yeah.
So what I've been seeing or what I saw was MLB on Friday proposed to the union a 154-game schedule with full pay, delayed by a month and extended by a week, sources say, also with expanded postseason, and the union was considering. But I guess you saw that it was declined, right?
Yeah, actually, just a couple hours ago, Ken Rosenthal came out with an article on The Athletic about that they're unhappy with the proposal. And it said they stated, the Players Association stated that their overall proposal is not an improvement on its current situation. And said in another note on the proposal was that it didn't guarantee that they will be paid for games lost due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's one big thing to take from it. You know, if you're not going to be guaranteed the full pay of a full season, they're not going to really be on board with that.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. They would never agree to that. What's crazy, what I found interesting too, we were talking before hopping on air here, about the DH being included in part of that deal. What was that about? Or what was it? What was the exact? Is that part of this new article that came out too, or?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a subscription to The Athletic. I can't read the whole thing, but.
No.
I think it was basically that. Part if they were to accept the deal, then the universal DH would be in place as well. Well, I guess it's part of the deal then, but. Yeah, here's the thing. It says Jared Diamond. He said that MLB's proposal calls for a 14-team postseason, which would be two fewer than last year, and then it would also have the DH. So, I'm not sure why that goes hand in hand, but I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see how it goes, how they move forward in these negotiations. Because I know a lot of us wanted a universal DH, so. But if we get a full season and don't get a full, I mean, a universal DH, I'm okay with that. Like, I'll take the full season over that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like you said, I'm not sure how one goes hand in hand with the other. I don't really quite understand how anything really has to do with one thing has to do with the other. I don't get that. It's you're talking about length of a season and how many games you're playing and what the pay is. And then you bring in the DH and universal DH. If anything, I think if it's a safety thing or if it's a pay thing, like the DH, making the DH universal would make the most sense. I mean, I don't know why having it, not having it, they really do not coincide. There's nothing there that I see anyways that would make it need to be in the contract included with anything. I think it's just a separate issue and topic by itself, but here we are. I guess we'll see what comes about all this and what ends up happening. I wouldn't mind the universal DH. I actually kind of liked it, even though I've always been a National League fan, and I do like the strategy behind pinch hitting and stuff like that, and the manager's decisions with double switching. But at the same time, I want to see the best hitters hit and not necessarily the pitchers. So that's where I am on that. But yeah, I guess those are the main things today. Let's see. There were some other moves. Especially yesterday, Carlos Rodon in agreement with the White Sox on a 1-year, $3 million contract. Plan is for him to compete with Pablo Lopez and Dylan Cease for the final two rotation spots on opening day. That's per Ken Rosenthal. Kopech likely to be held back initially, but that's kind of what we knew because he didn't pitch at all really last year and then coming back from the injuries and all that. Rodon, I feel like he's probably still – he's got something there, but he's probably more of a bullpen guy, especially with his injury track history.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. And the funny thing was that our guy, Bob Nightingale, he actually called him a closer. Like he said – he was like a former closer former closer. What the hell?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was like former closer signs with the White Sox, like, or whatever. Or he was like, he signs with the White Sox, their former closer, or something like that. And I was like, that, what? He was never a closer.
Former closer. I don't even know if he has one save on his resume.
I don't know, but
that is hilarious. What do you think about this other deal here? Former Yankee Sir Didi Gregorius, $28 million over the next 2 years to stick in Philly. What do you think about that?
I really like that for the Phillies. I think he makes their lineup stronger. He came back last year. He had a pretty solid season. And I think he'll be even better coming up hopefully a full season. I think he'll do some good things there, especially in the middle of a lineup with, you know, Bryce Harper. And now, of course, they also brought Realmuto back for, what was the deal, 5 years? I forget how much it was.
Was it 115?
I think it was 115, something like 115 and a half or something.
Yeah, I thought that's what I saw.
But, yeah, I think he's with guys around him. I think he'll be a key piece. Especially if he's going to be batting behind one of those guys, I think he'll be able to get some things going. The interesting thing is if, they still have Gene Segura there. So I don't know if they're going to put him back. I don't know if they'll want to put Didi at second because I his defense at short is not the greatest. I think Segura is better defensively. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Did you say Segura over Gregorius defensively?
Yeah, like putting him at short. I mean, putting Segura at short instead. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I feel the same way about that. Yeah, I think he has more range probably at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like Segura more defensively. No, I think it's a solid deal. The one thing though, I do think $14 million, I think, might have been a little bit much per year. Yeah. So it's 28 for 2 years. I'm not sure if any of that money was, if it's split up, like maybe they're paying it down the road. I thought I might have saw something like that. But
it does say here the deal contains deferrals. So,
oh, it does. Okay.
I'm not sure about the details on that, but let's see. Yeah, I don't know, but I know it does say it was deferred. So.
Okay, so I like it more that it was deferred then because, yeah, I thought I saw that, but I feel like if you're going to pay for Didi, you don't, like, $14 million a year is probably a little bit much where you could probably get what he gives you somewhere else for that, you know, for cheaper, but, or at least as a fill-in. But either way, no, I think he's solid. I mean, they're pretty much, seems like they're not making any real additions. They're just keeping it addition by keeping guys, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, they had a solid lineup when everybody was in there and healthy together, I feel like. I mean, this team didn't need a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a very, very tough division.
Well, the one move that they didn't make was, like, a new addition was Archie Bradley, so that's a big piece for their bullpen.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Archie Bradley. They needed help in the bullpen.
Yeah. What's his name? Their closer. I can't remember his name. But he's kind of up and down. I think having somebody else in there in the back end of the bullpen like Bradley is going to help that tremendously for them.
Yeah, you're talking about Hector Neris?
Oh, yeah, Hector Neris. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have high hopes for Neris, too. You know, I think he can be solid. And the guy they got from the Rays, Jose Alvarado, that might be an underrated piece too. I think Alvarado, really, he can punch him out. You know, didn't have the greatest year last year.
Yeah,
with the Rays, didn't pitch a whole lot though. So it's like it's a small sample. Really, I mean, when you pitch 9 innings out of the bullpen, everything looks inflated, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I like the Archie Bradley move. They probably still would like to add more pitching, I think. We'll see what they get this year from some of these guys, like Spencer Howard, a highly touted prospect. Maybe he can build upon, you know, getting a little bit of a taste last year, which he was not very effective. But I think they still have really high hopes for him. And then, you know, McCutchen obviously still around in the lineup.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about him.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still, you know, he still can produce, even though he's, what, 34? I mean, he still can make a difference, especially when you just put all those pieces together. And the youngster, Alec Bohm, Harper, Realmuto, Hoskins, Kingery, and then we mentioned the middle infield. I mean, their team is still set up pretty solid. I just think I don't know if I would rely on the starting pitching. And then the bullpen, maybe it's still some question marks, but yeah, like we said, that's just a very tough division with the I mean, the Braves were obviously really good last year. They're still going to be good. Getting Soroka back too. Then you look across at what all the other teams have done. The Mets are just much better this year.
Yeah, and they still might be. They still might be in play for Bauer too.
It's insane. Is it? What do you think about that? Do you think he winds up with the Mets? Because I feel like a lot of people are saying that that the Mets are the favorite at this point.
Yeah, because I saw that the even the Angels are out of it, which that really upsets me. Because like you need to get help for Trout. Like sign somebody. They haven't even signed any pitching. Like what are they? I don't know what they're doing. But other than the Mets, I think maybe the Dodgers would be a possible spot. I haven't really heard any other teams in there involved. I think it would be either between the Dodgers or the Mets for me.
I would love for him to go to the Angels. Like that's the place I really want him to go to. I'm right there with you. And seeing that report the other day that they're most likely out, or I guess maybe they're just way too far off in negotiations with Bauer. That was upsetting because, yeah, I just really want the Angels to be good because, like you and like many others, we want Trout in the playoffs. I think that's what the main thing is here. But, you know, when we look at it, it just seems like the Mets are just willing to spend the money at this point. They're just getting so much talent around making trades with Lindor and, you know, just all these pieces they're putting together. It's pretty remarkable. What Steve Cohen's trying to do there. And then you look at the Nationals in that division too, just now that since we're talking about this division, I mean, the Nationals are still good and they're making moves too. So I'm just so excited. And I think really the Marlins were underrated for what they were able to accomplish last year. Yes, it was expanded playoffs and all that, but they've got a young team and young pitching staff and they just keep getting better. That NL East is going to be the most fun thing to watch, I think, in my opinion. That's what I'm most excited for this upcoming season.
Yeah. I'm just ready for the season to start. Like, the winter is really making me depressed.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, well, like, we talked pre-show about you being in a storm, a winter storm, and it's snowing here. It's been snowing for 2 days here. It's, you know, it's kind of miserable right now. Let's be honest. No one wants to be cooped up in their house. No one wants to have to shovel or snowblow their driveway every 5 hours just so it's not like you're sunken in 5 feet of snow before you actually go to take care of it, but and then you can't even lift it if you try to shovel it because it's too freaking heavy. But yeah, man, I'm right there with you. So yeah, anyways, I guess that's what's kind of been going on in baseball, and that's kind of the news and updates that we have right now. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about today, or
Well, just I guess mention a couple of the Yankee moves. They traded, you know, Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox and to free up $11 million, and then turn around and signed Darren O'Day, which was a really a solid move. You know, it was a 1-year deal with a 2-year option. You know, he's 38, he's up there in age, but he's definitely still very solid in the bullpen. So I like that move a lot for them to. He's a improvement over Ottavino, but yeah, it helps. Definitely going to help their bullpen. And I think they're not done. They're not done with moves either. I think they'll probably get one more reliever before it's all said and done. But
yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I guess well, another big move was the Twins getting Andrew Twin Simmons. I don't know if we don't have Johnny on here to talk about that, but definitely a very good move for them. $10.5 million for 1 year.
Yeah, I'm sure he's excited about that move.
Yeah, I would say.
That makes the defense so much better. With Polanco expected to move over to second, and Polanco hasn't been the greatest shortstop defensively. But Simmons is pretty underrated as far as his bat goes because sometimes he can give you some decent production. So, yeah, I love the move right there. I think that's an outstanding move for the Twins.
Yeah. And another interesting move was the former Twin, Eddie Rosario, signing with the Indians. Like he signed within the division. So we'll see how he does, you know, when he faces the Twins. It was a 1-year, $8 million deal.
Oh yeah, Rosario. Yeah, I was surprised when they non-tendered him, but
yeah.
Good pickup for the Indians. They need something.
Yeah, because without Lindor, their offense is really nothing besides J-Ryan, but they might even trade him at this point too. I don't know.
I think it would be in their best interest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think what they could do too, because they signed Carlos Hernandez, the second baseman. Cesar Hernandez. Sorry. Yeah. Why was I thinking Carlos? I was Carlos Santana and Cesar Hernandez mixed together. But Cesar Hernandez. He's a solid second baseman, but they already had Ahmed Rosario at short and then Andrés Giménez at second, or either way you could probably flip the two that Mets deal. But so I don't know why they felt the need to get Hernandez, because I feel like those two could have been everyday players that, especially they're young and you want to see what they have. But I'm kind of feeling like they're getting these guys like Hernandez and Rosario to possibly flip at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like get some production out of them and then flip them, which obviously could be really good. Maybe they just kind of reboot this semi-rebuild, I guess, that maybe maybe that's what they're thinking. I mean, because they just always seem to get the best out of their pitching staff, and now they've got some youngsters like Tristan McKenzie coming up and pitching well. So it's interesting to see what the Indians are going to do from here.
Yeah. But I think that was it. I don't know. I don't have anything else, really.
Yeah, it's been, I wouldn't say quiet. It's been interesting, but I don't know. There's a lot of more minor moves going on. Of course, you know, last week or this last week we had along with Simmons getting signed, Marcus Semien to the Blue Jays. That was, I don't know. That was a pretty interesting move because now what, Kevin Biggio probably moves to third, maybe. Semien to second. Bichette short, obviously. Vlad probably first. I mean, that lineup is just, whew, they're scary. I know you don't want to hear that, because yeah, they're going to be going up against your Yankees, but they still need some pitching, I think. Yeah. But it's going to be scary.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a scary lineup. But they always say though that good pitching beats good hitting. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Jameson Taillon move for the Yankees, I think, was really underrated. Yeah. He's somebody that, if healthy, I think he can have a really solid impact and be potentially your number two or three starter in that rotation.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just, you know, off the real-life baseball for a second, I actually just pulled off a trade with a buddy of mine. We were discussing it for hours, literally hours, going back and forth, ping-ponging trades in a dynasty league. And it makes sense for what both of us are trying to do. He really loves Kyle Tucker, as do I, because that's why I drafted him 2 years ago. But I traded Kyle Tucker and another guy I love, who I feel like I've always been higher on than seemingly everybody else, because I don't know, like, they just, a lot of people like the other prospects in the Royals system a little bit more, like Jackson Coar and Brady Singer, which I love them too, but Daniel Lynch. So I traded Kyle Tucker and Daniel Lynch for, no, let me get this right. Trent Grisham, Dylan Bundy, Jameson Taillon, and Forrest Whitley. So, and Whitley should be up this year, and hopefully it stays healthy too. But it's also a salary cap related deal, because Tucker had $7. All the other guys were like $1. Again, or Bundy was $4. But yeah, so I'm hoping for big things, I guess, to sum up what I'm trying to say, is I'm hoping for big things from Taillon. My fantasy team would thank him tremendously.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alex, I don't know, anything else you want to add today, and then, or should we call it a night and get this out to the people?
No, I think that's it. I don't have anything else. Yeah, just continue listening to the pod, I guess. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. Like Alex said, continue listening to the pod. I'm Joey Ricotta, your host for today. Not always, but special guesting as host. You can find me at the Riot326 on Twitter, and I'm with the normal host and the owner of this pod, Alex Keeler. Find him at Alex Keeler on Twitter, and then you can follow the podcast, of course, at pod_tar. Is that right?
Yeah.
_tar. Okay. Make sure I remember that correctly. Yeah. Can get this podcast wherever you find your podcasts. If you're listening to this point in the episode, you probably already know how to get it, and you've already gotten it, obviously. So with that said, just remember, you can never have too much pot. She told me for my